Hi, welcome to the Morbid Anatomy Transmission. I'm your host, Molly McBride Jacobson. My guest today is Eric Inden, a mysterious patent attorney at an undisclosed law firm. He's presenting an illustrated lecture at the Morbid Anatomy on July 30th, in which he'll take the audience on a tour of the strange, gritty depths of patent registry. From the very beginning of the United States, there have been about as many weird patents as there have been weird ideas, and it's Eric's calling to plumb through them. He deals specifically in toy and medical patents, where, as you can imagine, things get morbid.
My name is Eric Inden. I'm a patent attorney, registered patent attorney, and I have been in the patent law field for a long time, and have assembled a collection of interesting patents, at least interesting to me. I have a client and background in medical technology, and there are a lot of interesting, crazy inventions out there on which patents have been granted.
Yeah, and so I sort of foolishly didn't realize until recently, but this event coming up at the end of this month is the second part of a two-part series, right?
Yes. It's the third of the lectures I've done at Morbid Anatomy.
Oh, wow.
The first wasn't not medical inventions. It was right before the Christmas and the holidays last year, so it was on twisted toys, patents on toys and games. So what happened over the years, a lot of the work I do is not only securing patents for clients I work with, but doing clearance work, doing investigations and research to see what's already been patented out there so they don't get sued or anything. And in doing that research over the years, I was able to accumulate this collection of both on the toy and game side and on the medical instrument side, a big collection of interesting patents that I certainly thought were off the beaten path, not what you see every day, things that you wouldn't expect to be patented.
What time period are most of these patents coming from?
They really range across almost the entirety of the United States patent system, so they don't go quite as far back as the Constitution, but ranging from late 19th century to modern day, really.
Yeah, I mean, is there a point in time at which we see, like, a boom in patenting?
There really has been continuously increase in patenting and applying for patents.
Oh, really?
Currently, there are well over 9 million United States patents.
So, and you said this lecture coming up specifically does it deal with medical patents?
Yes. I did one back earlier this year in March, and I had so much material, the idea to cram it all into one talk didn't make much sense. I figured I had enough to split into two.
So, like, what is the process of getting a patent? Say I've invented something and I think I want to make some money on it.
I mean, you invent something, you would have to actively file a patent application.
Mm-hmm.
A patent application has to be a very detailed, complete technical description and specification that describes the structural and functional features and all in great detail of the invention. For medical devices, for instance, often has to be accompanied by technical drawings. So, I mean, there's certainly no rule stating that an inventor couldn't do that themselves, but more frequently the case is they'll work with a patent attorney or a patent agent to prepare that and file that on their behalf.
Right, and that's where you come in.
Yes, I do that, and it will be assigned to what's known as a patent examiner. They have thousands of engineers and scientists who work as for the government examining the applications and.
Mm.
And the legal requirements to get a patent are that it has to be novel and it can't have been obvious. So the patent examiner will do research and see if anything similar or are identical has already been patented or is already known. And if that's the case, then at least on the first shot, you're not going to be able to get the patent.
Mm-hmm. So, like, if you get a client who just has a really bad idea, do you tell them that?
Depends what you mean by a bad idea. I mean, there's a range of clients I represent, and the corporations and universities and scientific...
And what are they patenting?
Research.
And
some of the best inventions have been smaller companies or individuals. Mm-hmm. What they often don't understand is that patent is not, you can't patent an idea, just an idea, an abstract idea.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of that nowadays. I've seen it with apps. You have to have the functionality, the structure, whatever it is, the device, the invention. And that is what the patent is granted on, not the idea or the concept itself.
Okay, sure.
So a lot of inventors don't fully understand that, and I send them away saying you have to come up with something to do that. That's a great concept. So it's not so much a bad idea; it's just the concept of knowing that you have to come up with something, some machine or device or composition that will do what you want to do.
Are these all in the public domain?
And yes, I mean, anyone could do the search and look those up and see what's already out there. And I've had inventors who've come up with what sound like great ideas. Okay, there's a need for this. This sounds like a really good idea. And you've got a device that does it or a medical instrument or whatever. And then I go and do the search and I find pretty much exactly what they come up with. Someone else has already come up with
it. Is that a bummer to give that news?
It is a bummer, but I always tell them the silver lining is that it's better that you find out now, because if you spend much more money and we apply for the patent, and then often, especially in the medical field, it can take years for the government, the examiner, to even look at the application for the first time.
Yeah, well, so I was going to say, when you're going through, I feel like both toy patents and medical patents, you could find some like really macabre stuff. Like, and because, you know, they're required to come with blueprints, you get a picture of exactly what it's supposed to look like. So like, where in these investigations have you found the greatest concentration of weird patents?
I mean,
Hello, can you hear me? Hello? At this point, my call with Eric cut off, and when I got back to him, my recording didn't work, so I will fill you in. He told me about some of the most memorable patents he's found in his toy research, one of which was a hangman board game entitled String 'em Up. I couldn't find that exact manifestation of this already pretty dark children's game, but I found others wherein you can execute a skeleton, an outlaw cowboy, and even SpongeBob, respectively. Would the physics of the gallows work underwater? Does SpongeBob even have a neck? What could he have done to warrant capital punishment? Let me know if you have answers. Back to Eric.
A lot of, especially the older patents, they almost have a sort of comical, bizarre feature to them. A lot of do-it-yourself devices. In my first medical patent presentation in Morbid Anatomy, I went through several patents with they were more or less surgical devices or therapeutic devices for facial reconstruction, cosmetic surgery, and reconstructive surgery. And then I showed a few patents, one from 1907 and one from a lot more recently, 1991, that were sort of do-it-yourself cosmetic surgery. Plastic surgery devices. In 1907, it was a nose shaper, and it was essentially like a sort of a band or a belt that went around the forehead and came down along the back of the head and came again to the front and had a cup that held the nose.
And surely that's not effective, right?
Probably wasn't as effective as an actual surgery. And then in 1991, there was a patent granted on what was called an instant facelift.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of a series of almost like mini bungee cords that were all tied in the back of your head, and you'd clip them on your face and pull your face up. Yeah, someone actually got a patent on it. So
I guess I'd like to hear some more descriptions of medical patents, because I'm, you know, particularly interested in those. Have you come across anything really shocking?
Sometimes it's just shocking how old some of the patents are for some of the technology.
Yeah.
Being in the late 20th century, early 21st century, we just associate with our time, but things have been around for a lot longer. And you think about it, it really does make sense for a basic device. I mean, the human body hasn't really changed for centuries, so a lot of the technology is just earlier primitive versions.
Like what? Can you give me an example?
I had a whole section of my talk, my first medical talk, on what I call insertables, specula, and various accessories. I'm looking at a patent now called the title was a dilator. It was from 1934, and it was essentially an aid to the hemorrhoids and other disorders of the rectum. Inserted, and it was a mechanism by which the diameter was increased, and I guess that was thought to have some therapeutic effect. Yeah, you have a lot of other devices like that for visualizing in various cavities. One of the sort of subtopics I plan to cover in my upcoming talk is sort of the progression. It's almost like a time capsule. You go back and see what was being patented 100 years ago or 50 years ago. And in some ways, it reflects the attitudes, the social norms of the time. And you can contrast that with what's being patented now.
Yeah. Have you ever patented anything yourself? Do you have any patents?
I do not. I have not. And I'm sure if I ever got a spark of inspiration and invented something, I could and would.
Mm-hmm.
I have not. I mean, I certainly know how to do it.
Yeah. And, well, I would hope so. But you got to get on that.
I mean, you'd be surprised. Again, going through a very long history of patents on toys and games, it's incredible. People in going all the way back in the early 19th century were getting patents on these amusement devices and games.
Wow.
If you sort of survey patents then and now, you see the shift in technology. And in the early history of this country and our patent system, a lot of the patents were on agricultural devices, because that was really the main industry at the time in the late 18th and early to mid 19th centuries. And then you see a lot of patents on more industrialized machinery, and eventually automobiles and airplanes. You see a lot of that. And then you see more and more on computers and related technology.
That would be a great way to track the history of the United States, is in like a book full of patents.
Yes, different industries and how many patents were granted in each decade or something.
Yeah. That sounds like a job for you, to be honest.
Be the topic of my next talk.
Yeah. That's it for this transmission. If you'd like to see pictures of the weird junk you just heard about and more, come to Eric's Illustrated Lecture on July 30th, 8 p.m. There's also a new exhibit up at the museum, Opus Hypnagogia, Sacred Spaces of the Visionary and Vernacular. I really hope I'm pronouncing that right, but basically this deals with experiences in between conscious reality and unconscious imaginary. Everything from sleep paralysis to seances to souls in purgatory. A lot of the images come from incredibly rare collections and range in origin from the 15th century to the late 21st. If you've liked what you've heard from this podcast, or even if you haven't, you can rate and write a review on iTunes. I would really appreciate it and you. If you want to hear more, you can subscribe as well. You can also feel free to drop a line to info@morbidanatomymuseum.org. Today's last words come from industrialist Abram S. Hewitt. After removing his oxygen tube, he declared, "And now I am officially dead."